In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I get a question from different people on occasion asking, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? And the truth is, no one living knows exactly. But we are given little hints in the Bible. So, when Christ says the kingdom of heaven is like, we who would like to know should probably pay attention. Our ears should perk up a little bit. And this is how Christ introduces today's gospel. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. In this story, there are three main actors. You have the king, who is owed a large and unpayable amount of money. He's a just king. He's justified in calling his servant to repay him. He had loaned the money, and it is due. We also have the first servant, the one who owed the king the unpayable amount. And as he could not pay, the king ordered that he and his whole family should be sold. Now that seems harsh, but I did the math. So a denarii is about a day's wage. So factoring in today's minimum wage of $15 per hour in California, with an 8-hour workday, a day's wage is about $120. Minimum. And one talent is 6,000 denarii. Now, his sum that he owed was 10,000 talents. So 120 times 6,000 times 10,000 comes to $7,200,000,000, an unpayable amount of money. This is an absurd amount. And Christ gives us this absurd amount for a purpose, to show us the importance of this next part. The servant who owed this great sum of money, who is about to be thrown in prison with his whole family, although I imagine they'd be separated, so not a pleasant time, he begged the king for mercy. And the king had mercy on them, forgave the entire debt, and released them. $7,200,000,000 worth of debt. That is the depth of God's mercy for his servants who ask it. Now we come to the third actor in this story. A fellow servant who is in debt to the first, but a smaller amount. I did the math on this too. It was about $1,200. Okay. It's not nothing, but it's not $7 billion. Now, when this newly forgiven servant went to his fellow servant and asked for repayment, this seems to be the thing to do these days, so I might as well ask for it also. His fellow servant could not pay, and the first responded in a very passionate way. He seized him by the throat and demanded even more that he pay. And when he could not, he threw his fellow servant into prison. So even though he had received, this first servant, such mercy and forgiveness from the king, this ungrateful servant would not forgive or have mercy on his fellow servant. And when the king found out, he received the same reward that he gave to his brother. He was thrown in prison. Now, when we compare that $7 billion to $1,200, he has still received quite a lot. This debt forgiveness is a gift, essentially $7 billion that has been given to him for free. He has received quite a lot, even without receiving the $1,200 that is due to him. And so it is with us. We have received quite a lot. God has given us life and the imprint of himself in us. He has given us his creation to enjoy. And we have been given such love that though we continually rebel against God in our sin, he sent his Son to be incarnate, take on our human flesh, to die and rise again on the third day so that we might be freed from the captivity to sin and death and be raised to new life in him. This is a great gift worth more than $7 billion.
Ready to go.
We have also been given the opportunities to be forgiven and be united with him in the sacramental life through baptism and chrismation, through confession, and through the Eucharist. We have been given and forgiven so much. And yet, if you're anything like me, we still allow the small debts, the annoyances in our life, friction between another person and myself to distract and derail us from this truth of the greatness that we have received. We lose sight of God's great goodness for us, and instead we call our brother to account for each little thing that we feel we are owed. Now, forgiveness can be difficult. We all know this. It can be difficult. It doesn't have to be. But we know from the scriptures that we are expected to forgive. In the Psalms, we say to God, with thee is forgiveness. So forgiveness comes from God. And if we unite ourselves with him, then we need to have forgiveness also. We hear in the Gospels that we're to forgive 70 times 7 our brother who sins against us. And that we ask God to forgive us in as much as we forgive others. We also know that we have the sacraments which are there for the forgiveness of sins. And so, if you're having trouble forgiving, come receive forgiveness. God offers it to you through the sacramental life of the church. It's not hard to find flaws in others and to judge them. But if we take an honest look inside ourselves, if I look at my flaws, my shortcomings, the deeper I look, the deeper the pile becomes. And then when I go to judge my brother, the mountain of my own sins that I am aware of, makes their tiny little dust pile like nothing. Just as the $7 billion debt makes the $1,200 debt a pittance. And this makes God's forgiveness of us so precious. What a beautiful thing this is, God's forgiveness of us. Now we have another example for us on this day. We celebrate St. Moses the Ethiopian. We have his icon right over here. And we had about a year and a half ago, big rainstorm, water was, and the roof was being redone. And water was leaking right over his icon. And I had the blessing of being able to stand there for 3 hours dabbing water over his icon and praying to him, asking for his prayers for us. So thank God for that opportunity to draw near to the saints. So St. Moses the Ethiopian, also known as St. Moses the Black, or the Strong, or the Robber, is a different sort of example of forgiveness. He's one who was forgiven much, and instead of throwing his brother into prison, he spent his life in repentance and gratitude to God. We sang last night at Vespers this hymn in honor of St. Moses. Who could have foreseen in Saul, our patron, who could have foreseen in Saul, who made havoc of the Church of Christ, the apostle of the nations? And who could have foreseen the change of heart wrought by grace in Moses the Ethiopian? He that once was a dwelling of demons is become a temple of the Trinity. He that once was the enemy of all men now embraceth all in his prayers unto God. O Moses, great were thy crimes of old, but greater thy repentance before the Lord. Intercede with him to save our souls. Saint Moses, in his youth, was a slave. But after committing a murder, his owner dismissed him, banished him. And so he went out and he joined a band of robbers. And after not too long, he became their leader. He was that ruthless. And so he and his band of robbers continued to commit murder, robbery, and many other evil deeds. And at some point, St. Moses ended up hiding out at a monastery, taking refuge there. And through the example of the monks, he turned to repentance from his way of anger and violence. And through his continued tears for his many sins, he convinced the monks that he was sincere because they knew who he was. And after a long while, they accepted him into the monastery. And because of St. Moses' example of repentance, many of his former band of robbers came to the monastery also to live a life of repentance and monasticism. And rather than turning to his brothers who, after he turned to repentance, continued their life of crime when they came to him asking for mercy, rather than throwing them in prison for the same crimes that he had been forgiven, since he had found forgiveness in the Christian life, he welcomed them into that same life of repentance and forgiveness. And so together, they lived a life of extreme spiritual struggles against temptations and continuous repentance for their sins. He and six others of the monastery were murdered by a band of robbers, no less, around the year 400. So returning to the beginning of the gospel reading. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his servants. And though his servant owed an insurmountable debt, whether it's money or murder and robbery or the mountain of sins that I have, when asked for mercy and forgiveness, the king forgave the whole amount, its entirety. And so as citizens of this kingdom, with this same king, we who repent forgive me, and received such mercy and forgiveness, how can we spend our life in anything other than gratitude to God and glorifying Him? How can we turn to our brother and judge him? This ungrateful servant's lack of mercy proved himself to be incompatible with his king. So rather, let us imitate Saint Moses, who, knowing the multitude of his sins, made every effort, and I do mean every effort, to become like Christ. Through the prayers of our righteous father, Saint Moses, the Ethiopian, O Christ our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.